This is Create the Next from ProCFO Partners, where every week we explore strategies and ideas for financial management and growth to help today's businesses put their financial picture in context.
Welcome back to Create the Next. I'm Chris Bintliff with ProCFO Partners. The podcast is Create the Next, and the reason we call it Create the Next is because ProCFO Partners kind of operates around a mindset of wherever you are isn't where you're going, isn't where you could be. And today I'm excited to have a conversation with Mark Fox of Fox Lifestyle Hospitality Group. And Mark, I'm really curious about what that means for you. As I understand it, one of the things you guys kind of work on is developing brands that exemplify hospitality. Those are two powerful words there, exemplify and hospitality. So let's dig into it a little bit. Tell me a little bit about Fox Lifestyle Hospitality, a little bit about Mark Fox, you know, and then let's talk just a little bit about ProCFO Partners and how they have been sort of integrating and interfacing with your success.
Yeah, sure. Fox Lifestyle encompasses five restaurants in New York City. They're all in Manhattan. They were all conceptualized by myself personally. They're all very stylized in their design and in their brand intent. They're very much, I guess, come from an emotional place. I think there's probably a little bit of a creative wonk in me, maybe, if you will. And I enjoy kind of creating stylized places and places that have a unique and kind of a story to tell, if you will. And I've been in the business since I was at school, and I opened my first restaurant 22 years ago with two other guys and formed Fox Lifestyle back in 2013, and kind of have had a steady growth trajectory over the last 10 years. And, you know, I want to continue to grow. And I like the idea of developing new concepts and creating unique and curated experiences that are rewarding for guests. I case in point, I have a place in Midtown Manhattan called The Rag Trader. And it's got a cocktail piano bar in the basement called Bo Peep. And The Rag Trader is named as a kind of a homage to, first of all, the building it's in and also the district that it's situated in, which is the Garment Center, which in its original heyday was a kind of a gritty part of New York City. And the Rag Trader is in what was once a garment factory. And when I took over the space, it was actually an office, and it was a good renovation. I tore it down to its core shell, which exposed the original factory floor, the original factory walls.
So cool.
Yeah. And really built back in on the base level of the design, a kind of an industrial factory belief. And then to try soften it and give it some panache and some romance, we added in the flair that the end of the garment industry provides, which is the fashion industry. So we have mannequins with stoles and Vogue magazines and bolts of fabric. And it really kind of personifies everything that the garment center once provided and still does to a lesser extent than it did in the 1930s, 40s, 50s, if you will. And Bo Peep, which you might think is named after sheep, the cocktail bar, is actually named after a company that was in this building from 1933 till 1975. And they made predominantly children's partner clothing, where once it was kind of fashionable to dress your kids, whether they were two boys or even a boy and girl, with sort of matching outfits. And that was their main industry. And I did some research on the building, obviously, but I got the name Bo Peep from standing on 6th Avenue and looking east one day after getting a cup of coffee from Starbucks. And the faded logo was still painted on the side of the building. And I did some research and realized what it actually meant. So Bo Peep is actually a nod to a company that was here for 50 years, you know. So, and then, you know, from a customer journey then, you know, it's a fast-paced bistro that caters to the corporate commuter belt. So our business is mostly corporate. We get a nice overlap of tourists and shoppers as well. But it's, you know, a 300-seater venue that does a remarkable business. And the belief behind the service model is very much where my whole personality lives. I think, you know, I'm a pleaser. I've always been a pleaser. I was the good kid in the house. Mm. I was the one that had three jobs. I was the one that gave my mom money, you know? And I've always felt best when the people around me are satisfied. And there's a little bit of selfishness in that too. I recognize that. I feel good about providing for other people. And I believe that hospitality needs that. I think people that don't have that need probably shouldn't be in hospitality. Because if you fake it, it comes across as being insincere. And if you really mean it, people feel it. And I think my biggest job is to really espouse that belief and bottle it. And it was much easier when I had one place, because I'm in direct line with the team. I'm in direct line with the customers. And as I've scaled, it's really trying to, you know, bottle that real belief. We call it culture nowadays, but it really means what you believe in and telling the truth and being honest about it. And I have a real belief about taking care of our people. I worked for some great people, and I worked for a couple of terrible people. And I swore as a young man when I was denigrated or dismissed that I would never behave like that. And it's never left me. And the people that I have the deepest respect for are the cleaners, the dishwashers, the ones that clean up after everybody. Our servers have an element of sociability attached to their job. They get to interact with each other. They get to interact with the bartender, with the manager, with the customer. So there's an aspect of sociability attached to their job. The cleaner doesn't have that benefit. He comes in and cleans up after everybody's gone home. So that man we need to bow our head to him. And I've never lost sight of that. And every day I come to work to really try, you know, enforce that with our team and encourage people to take care of one another. And really, you know, on the understanding that if we really care for one another, then we will pay it forward. The guests will feel that positive intent. And that also includes when somebody is a bad cultural fit, where they're not working honestly towards the best endeavors of each other by calling out at short notice and leaving the service compromised, that we recognize that and take them out of the equation, because that's the respectful thing to do for people that do show up. So it's all about the people. You know, I make a joke, Chris, that 80% of this job is about the people, and it doesn't include the customers. And it's the truth.
Create the Next is brought to you by Pro CFO Partners, who believe every business deserves to work with an expert CFO to guide its success. Pro CFO Partners are expert financial officers networked across industries, verticals, specializations, and situations. Fulfilling the role of a part-time CFO with all-time commitment, Pro CFO Partners utilizes the innovative and exclusive FGC Financial Flywheel as a framework that creates momentum to drive your financial functions for sustainable success. Visit ProCFOPartners.com to explore how we can implement a systematic and scalable financial system to help you achieve your goal. ProCFOPartners.com.
You know, there is so much you're sharing. This is going to be the highlight of my whole day. Thanks for all of this, Mark. So there's so much you're sharing that I just want to connect to. One is, as a designer and as a marketer, You're absolutely speaking my language when you lead the conversation talking about kind of emotion. I say often emotion is the currency of good marketing and good design. What is it about? I want to talk about how you started with one place and how you're scaling, but that is kind of, I don't know, you're leading, that's the pointy end for you. Is it because you recognize, because what you're describing, you could easily just kind of put something quick and easy, you know, you could be really mindful of like, let's maximize margins here and let's just get some food out the door for our corporate folks who are on their lunch break or whatever. But you've clearly cultivated and curated and crafted an attitude and an ambiance and an energy purposefully. Is it because, in addition to your respect for the people, is the industry in need of that? Are you recognizing that there's a glut of mediocrity? Tell me a little bit about what motivates just kind of that thinking for you.
It's a great question. I think there's a multifaceted answer to that. I think, first of all, again, from a selfishness, I think I'm an adrenaline junkie. Mm. So I love the art of the deal. I love the creativity attached to conceptualizing places. But it's on the belief that we sell escapism. Mm. That's all we actually do. We put it in a glass and we put it on a plate. So our job is to make people exhale.
Ugh.
Like, that's our job, you know, and that's why people get so upset when they have a failed experience, because they came in to exhale and you've made them inhale.
Mm.
Right. So that's what kind of drives me. And then with respect to marketing and competitiveness, I think there's always, look, mediocrity, and there's also EA players. You know, and there's people a tier above me that humble me every day, you know, that are at a level that I could only dream and aspire to. And I do, you know. But I think that the pursuit of providing that rewarding experience by bringing together the brand, the offering, the decor, the service, the atmosphere, when they're knitted together and there's no air between those five beliefs, that's when people walk in and go, they feel that escapism. And they don't know what it is. It's just a culmination of all those things together just makes sense. It's a lock. It's an emotional lock in their head. Because we do sell an emotional journey. When it's all said and done, we're not selling roast chicken. We're not selling pizza. Mm. We're selling an emotional escape hatch.
This is a powerful discussion and value proposition, everybody. So I hope you've got your pencils out and you're realizing that you don't sell widgets, you sell an outcome of the widgets. And Mark, it's amazing that you've got this on point. So as you've scaled, because there's a huge threat, you know this, of diluting all of that. There's a huge, as you get bigger or broader or wider or deeper, it's hard, as you've even articulated, to make sure of and instill and make sure that the cultural and the mindset that started it all remains intact. And you've also talked about the importance of your team and the importance of making sure that the people around you and that are involved are on point with the broader vision. So Melanie Shaw is one of our CFOs, our pro CFOs at Pro CFO Partners. Talk to me a little bit about the value of the fractional CFO, I guess, for you, as you've been dealing with kind of these dimensions and the many dominoes. But what is Melanie bringing to this conversation for you that is part of that broader identity?
Great question. And I think it's one of the many disciplines that are required as you scale. Obviously, one of the most important ones is financial. I never lead with the financial in the sense that I believe that if you lead with the guest experience and the emotion, that the top line sales will be there. And then through disciplines, you'll ensure that the bottom line will be there too. You know, we went through COVID. Mm-hmm. It had a particularly severe impact in New York City because of the the many lockdowns and severe occupancy restrictions that we encountered here. Two of my places are in a heavy commuter belt, which saw zero business. And I have one place under construction during COVID, and I acquired another one during COVID. So I recognized that I needed some strategic, financial, technical accounting help to really help me with the budget process and the forecasting process and what really a 3 and 5 year plan would look like and how to kind of put ourselves on a stronger sort of foothold to kind of say, okay, look, we can forecast reliably out 36 to 60 months. And what would a growth trajectory look like beyond our 5 units with that in mind? And I knew that internally I didn't have that bandwidth. And I knew also that I didn't need a full-time CFO. I have a controller, but I didn't need a full-time CFO. But I knew I needed the skill set of a CFO, somebody with that strategic mindset outside of just the technical accounting knowledge to really help me look at that structure. And Melanie has been indispensable in that endeavor. She's been working with me since about last May, I think. And we have a terrific relationship. And we meet every week. And our conversations are very intentional and very strategic. And I'm not a finance guy. So for me, it's been a tremendous benefit and learning curve.
You find that it frees up. Obviously, you are a visionary and you are very comfortable in the elevated space of, as you said, creative. You're the guy who stands on the corner and sees a faded logo and immediately 52 things fall into place. Has it freed up some of that mental space for you, having somebody who is, you know, maybe a complement to those skill sets with the financial mindset, like Melanie sees things in that same sort of way? Are you more able to, I don't know, as you say in your own words, exhale because she's kind of got some of that stuff on lock so you can spend your energy or your mind power on other things?
100%. You know, without her, I would lack that clarity and confidence to be able to look beyond next year and think, are we strategically strong? What's our, you know, our long-term cash flow projections looking like? Are we going to be financially stable? She can take care of that me and advise me so I can be kind of looking beyond where we are today. So no question. Like, I would argue that she's been the most impactful partner over the last 12 months with respect to where we are and where we need to get to, you know?
That is a powerful endorsement. Mark Fox is the president of Fox Lifestyle Hospitality Group. They are at flhgrp.com. What a pleasure to talk to you today, Mark. Thanks for being just so candid and refreshing and open about your approach to things. And I wish you all the best. I just feel like I love talking with leaders like you who have more in mind than what is often just evident on a P&L or on a piece of paper. And I completely agree that those are the things that drive success when you have this other stuff kind of in place. I'm cut from that same cloth. Thanks for everything today, Mark. I'm looking forward to finding out how your success continues.
God bless. Pleasure to talk to you, Chris.
Take care.
Thanks for listening. And a special thanks to our subscribers. Consider becoming one today. Visit procfopartners.com and learn how we can help you build a framework for financial management and growth.